Would you turn in your Bibles to Judges chapter 8? Judges chapter 8, and we'll start in verse 22 and read through verse 32 in Judges chapter 8. Here, remember, last week we saw the defeat, the Lord's defeat of Midian. He set 120,000 swordsmen against each other. They died, and then Gideon and the 300 went up and killed the other 15,000. And so 135,000 killed. Midian is defeated. And here we come to Judges chapter 8, verse 30, or verse 22, and we'll read through verse 32. This is the word of the Lord. Then the men of Israel said to Gideon, "Rule over us, both you and your son, also your son's son, for you have delivered us from the hand of Midian." But Gideon said to them, "I will not rule over you, nor shall my son rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you." Yet Gideon said to them, "I would request of you that each of you give me an earring from his spoil." For they had gold earrings because they were Ishmaelites, that is, the earrings from the spoil. They said, "We will surely give them." So they spread out a garment, and every one of them threw an earring there from his spoil. The weight of the gold earrings that he requested was 1,700 shekels of gold, besides the crescent ornaments and the pendants and the purple robes which were on the kings of Midian, and besides the neckbands which that were on the camels' necks. Gideon made it into an ephod and placed it in his city Ophrah. And all Israel played the harlot with it there, so that it became a snare to Gideon and his household. So Midian was subdued before the sons of Israel, and they did not lift up their heads any more, and the land was undisturbed for 40 years in the days of Gideon. Then Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, the son of Joash, went and lived in his own house. Now Gideon had 70 sons who were his direct descendants, for he had many wives. His concubine, who was in Shechem, also bore him a son. He named him Abimelech. And Gideon, the son of Joash, died at a ripe old age and was buried in the tomb of his father Joash in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. That is the word of the Lord. After the defeat of Midian, Israel desires a king to rule over them, someone to rule over them. They wanted Gideon to fill that spot. The problem with this, as we should know, is that God is already their king. The Lord is their king already. He says that in Deuteronomy 33. They wanted a man who had delivered them from the Midianites of so great a number, 135,000. They wanted him to rule over them, but the problem is that we remember Judges chapter 7, verse 2. Remember that last week? "The people who are with you are too many," the Lord said, "for me to give Midian into their hands, for Israel would become boastful, saying, 'My own power has delivered me.'" And yet here in the verses before us in chapter 8, Israel perhaps isn't saying that their own power, by their own power were they delivered from Midian, but it seems like they're saying from Gideon, the power that came from Gideon, him. That's how we were delivered. And so they're boasting in some sense in Gideon. Gideon is merely an instrument, as we know. It was the Lord who defeated Midian. And the Lord who acted as king over Israel, protecting them from their enemies. Gideon acknowledges this at first, at least, and says the Lord will rule over you and not himself. Israel in their sin didn't want the Lord, though, as we've seen for the past many chapters. And from the defeat, secondly, there was spoil from the Midianites, who were also called Ishmaelites, descending from Abraham's son Ishmael. They wore gold earrings in their ears. So Gideon took that gold, or some of that gold, from the spoil and made it into an ephod. Remember, or do you know what an ephod is? Well, if we ever get to Samuel, we'll see that a lot. The ephod is described in Scripture as being part of the high priestly garments. So worn by the high priest, it's like a tunic, a cloth, a clothing, which had gold in it. The ephod is specifically and is throughout Scripture described as being specifically designed as a means of obtaining direct direction from the Lord. Typically, it would be with the high priest, and we know where the high priest is now. We know where the Ark of the Covenant is now. It's in Shiloh. We learned that many chapters ago. And however, they're not in Shiloh. Gideon's not in Shiloh. He's not the high priest, is he? And he's also not commanded by the Lord here to make an ephod. He makes it himself. He desired, it seems, because of the description, he wanted somewhat to create an alternative direct channel to God so that he could communicate with God directly. Because apparently, Gideon is now a mighty man. He has this power now because people want him to rule over Israel. And he takes that, and here we see what it leads to after he makes the ephod. Israel worships it, and also Gideon and his household do as well. That became a snare to Gideon and to his household, as it says in verse 27. We don't have ephods today. We have been granted direct communication with God ourselves through Jesus Christ. We learned more about that this morning. As he is our high priest, in some sense, we could say, based on the description of the ephod, he is our ephod. Though we wouldn't necessarily say that. But he's like that. Because through him we have direct communication to the Lord because he's our mediator. And so we can talk directly to the Father. We can pray to the Father. We can hear him speak to us through his word. And so when we desire to know what the will of God is, to know what his plan is, we go to the word and we also seek him, seek his face through prayer. We draw near to the throne of grace with boldness and confidence. And yet, like Gideon, like Israel, oftentimes we want more. We want more than what God has given. We lack contentment with what we have. We have prayer, direct communication with the Lord through a mediator, Jesus Christ. We have God's Word. Israel didn't have the Word written except for the Ten Commandments at that time, and they had the Book of the Pentateuch. But they didn't have all of God's Word like we do. We have been blessed in so many more ways than Israel was. And yet we, like them, lack contentment with what He's given us. We lack contentment with His Word. We lack faith to trust His providence, His goodness towards us. We too, desire to have a more direct way to the Lord, don't we? Sometimes we're tempted to want that. Desire that. And yet He gives us His Word. He gives us the reading and preaching of His Word. He gives us prayer. He gives us the sacraments. We, in our sin, want the extraordinary. That's why in the church today there's people who want the extraordinary. Like, they want to hear the speaking in tongues and things like that. They want to see miracles happen. And yet God has given us the great privilege, the great benefits and blessings that we have the normal, ordinary means of grace every week. And we have the means of grace, the word and prayer in our homes. We don't have to go to the temple, do we? And yet, oftentimes we want more. Now thirdly, we see that Midian here was subdued, verse 28, that they had rest in their land for 40 years until Gideon died. Gideon, during his life, you see, how he enters into sin, not only with the ephod, but here with many wives and concubines. He has 70, that's 70 sons. One of those sons was Abimelech. Already Gideon had said that he was not to rule over him, rule over Israel. His sons were not to rule over Israel. The Lord was to rule over Israel. But now he names his son Abimelech, which means my father is king, which is odd. Interesting, given that Gideon turned down being king. The next chapter where we see Abimelech, he conspires so that he can be king. Very interesting, where sin leads people. But here we must note, very importantly, verse 28. The last time the land of Israel, at least in the book of Judges, is given rest from their enemies. We've seen now the enemies come in, they're enemies to Israel for years, and then God raises up a judge to deliver them from their enemies. They have rest from that those enemies. Now that's not going to be any longer. There's not going to be that time of rest. It's just going to be one after another in the book of Judges. So here we note that the gift of rest Israel loses. They forfeit it. This shows that Israel is progressively getting worse and worse. They're adding apostasy to apostasy. Judges shows us the book that God's mercy is deep, and yet it's not easy going. It's tender, but it's not going to be trampled upon, somewhat like we learned this morning in Genesis. We learn here the Lord alone is king. Idolatry and seeking out another and more easy way or a greater way than what God has given us, even for God's people like Gideon. We see that idolatry, and then we also see God's mercy, that it will not be trampled upon. He is gracious to us. He is merciful, but he's not going to always have that mercy towards those who continually turn from him and sin. So a warning to us. But a great promise also. The Lord is our King. The Lord alone. Let's pray. Our Father, we are thankful that we don't have to depend upon any earthly king or president. We don't need them for salvation. We don't need them to serve you. Yet you have given them to us. And we pray that we would be submissive to those authorities. And yet, because not just because of who they are, but because of who you are. And you, who are King and who are Lord, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, you have commanded us to be submissive to such authority. And Father, we are thankful for that authority that you have brought into our lives through Jesus Christ, our Savior, who's not just our prophet and priest, but he's also our King. Lord, we pray that you would rule over us and you would be merciful to us, that you would add mercy upon mercy for the rest of our lives, because we deserve so much worse. We deserve what we looked at this morning, that judgment, that death in the lake of fire. And yet, oh Father, you continually are the God who is filled with covenant, loving kindness and mercy, abounding in steadfast love, slow to anger. Father, we pray that you would heap all those things upon us continually. Shower us with your grace. Though we don't deserve it, though we live like Israel, we pray that you would look upon us with mercy because of Jesus Christ, your Son, who is our King. And Father, we pray that you would send more mercy, more than what you've already given. That you would be gracious, because there are people here who are struggling in their hearts and their souls to live for you, to where we are constantly being tempted to idolatry and creating things which to worship, like our family, our children, our money, position, jobs, etc. We have all these tendencies to idolatry. Father, we pray that you would turn us from that idolatry and turn us in our hearts to worship the only true and living God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we do pray for those who struggle with their bodies. We pray especially for those within our midst that we constantly see week by week. We pray for Bob and Marie. You continue to strengthen them in their bodies. Sharon, that you would heal her and bring her more healing and give her rest. We pray for Dina and her early stages of pregnancy, that you would give her a strong stomach, that she would not be sick. And Shelley, we pray for her cold or whatever she has. We pray that you would heal her and heal all those who are sick. We pray for our marriages, our houses, our families, that you would strengthen them, that we would be lovers of your word and being in your word daily and proclaiming the gospel to each other, not only parents to children, but children to parents. What a great blessing that would be to see children telling the gospel to parents and reminding them of the great mercy of God. Father, we also pray that you would unite us as a body. You would bring salvation to your people, strengthen those who are your people already in faith, and that we would be not only lovers of the Lord, but we would be lovers of our neighbors. That we would fulfill in Christ the two greatest commandments, to love God and to love our neighbor. And Father, we pray this for your glory and for the praise of your name, that your name would become more famous upon the earth, and that your people would believe. These things we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen.